I was told a quote a long time ago that stuck with me for many years, and that is, nothing of spiritual significance happens apart from prayer. We want the chapel to be a church that prays. We want the chapel to be known for its prayer culture. We look at the world around us, we see there's a lot of hopelessness, a lot of fear, and a lot of anxiety, confusion, and even chaos. And we know that there is power in prayer. So our heart's desire is to call on God, asking Him to do the thing that we cannot do for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for our city. So we're calling the church for 21 days of prayer. We're calling the church to pray and fast for 21 days, asking God to do the thing that we cannot do for ourselves. We're gonna call every single child, every single teenager, adult, to pray for 21 days, not just for ourselves, but for our city, our world, our church, our community, believing that God answers prayers, believing that God will answer our prayers because it's according to His will.
All right, it's good to be back here. It's good to be back in the church I grew up in. I have many, many memories here, and it is really an honor to stand in this pulpit, or where the pulpit once was. So today, I'm gonna kind of take you on a journey through my prayer struggles. So we're gonna continue the series in prayer, and rather than focus on one passage, we're gonna kind of journey with me. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. God, we are grateful for you. We are grateful that we can go to you in prayer, that you hear us, that you want us to pray. God, I pray that you will help us to understand prayer, its purpose, its why you've asked us to do it. God, I pray that we will love you more when we leave than we did when we walked in because we know you more. Speak to your church, I pray. Amen. So you guys are on a journey of 21 days through prayer. You've started a series on prayer. We're gonna continue that series today. You know, it's interesting. The word prayer has a lot of baggage with it. Right? If you think about it, when people ask you to pray, or if you have to pray in front of somebody, or even the whole idea of prayer, it causes a lot of angst. It's very misunderstood. It's probably the most underutilized part of our faith. No one feels like they pray enough. Maybe you don't know why we should pray. Maybe you don't know how to pray. See, prayer is the most simple part of our faith, but it is also extremely difficult. And maybe you feel guilt for some of these reasons. Maybe that you feel stuck in this guilt loop, right? I don't pray as much as I should, and because of that, I feel guilty. And so because I feel guilty, I don't pray, and that causes more guilt. And so this is constant vicious circle that we're stuck in. Or maybe you hear of people of amazing prayer life, and they pray and pray and pray. John Wesley, who is an amazing man of faith who had a huge impact, said a person should not be a pastor if they don't pray for 4 hours a day. Yeah, so you have that response. How do you think I feel? Martin Luther said he prayed for an hour a day, except for the days where he was really, really busy. And on those days, he prayed for 2 hours. So we have these people who have this amazing prayer life, who talk about how important prayer is, and we all know how important prayer is. And yet, we're stuck in this, and so we look at those people and we say, I can't live up to that. I can't do that. And so we don't. we sometimes give up. We get frustrated at our inability. And this feeds then into the defeatedness of more lack of prayer. Yet, we also set times aside in our life to pray, right before we eat or before we go to bed. We have these prayers that we pray. J.C. Ryle, one of my favorite dead theologians, said, "It is one thing to say your prayers and another to pray." What is it that we are doing when we pray before we eat? It's not wrong to do that. We are reminded that God is the one who has given us all things. He has given us the money for the food. He has given us the food. He has given us great abundance in our country to be able to eat. We have an amazing blessing that people throughout the history of the world haven't had. And so we're grateful for that. We pray before we go to bed, and we are reminded that God is the one who wakes us up, that he has sustained us all day. And so those prayers are not bad, but are these the types of prayers that the Bible talks about? I'm gonna start with a common misunderstanding. Maybe you have heard it said, when you can't do anything else, pray. When you can't do anything else, pray. It's as if our job as followers of Jesus is to try our hardest to do it on our own. And if we can't, then we have to submit it to God and let him do it. See, this completely misses the point of what prayer is. You don't pray because there's nothing else you can do. You pray because there's nothing better you can do. Prayer is what keeps us in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's what keeps us in tune with God. Throughout Scripture, the people of God pray. Jesus spent time praying. Now, if Jesus needed to pray, I think it would be pretty fair to say we need to as well. I love the story of the night before Jesus chose his 12 who would become the apostles. He spent the whole night praying. He spent the whole night with his Father. This is Jesus, God incarnate, saying to his Father, "Lead me in this." Prayer is evidence throughout Scripture of the people of God. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." Who are the people of God? Those who call upon the name of the Lord. The flip side of that is Psalm 14:4, which says it is the evildoers who don't pray. So prayer isn't just what you do when you can't do anything else. It's what you do because you are a follower of Jesus. Prayer is the most simple, basic action of our faith. There is nothing more basic. If you can have a conversation, you can pray. Prayer is a conversation with God. If you have thoughts to yourself, if you can think thoughts inwardly, you can pray. It is very simple. All of us can do it. You can pray at any time, at any place. But while it's simple, it doesn't mean it's easy. Prayer is very, very difficult. There's always, time can always be found to pray. But if you're anything like me, time can also be wasted. Right? If you're like me, there are times where you've said, "I'm gonna sit down and I'm gonna pray, but before I do that, I gotta see what's going on." You see an Instagram reel? Have you ever been stuck in that loop? Yeah. And then you look at your clock and say, "I can't believe I wasted all this time." See, prayer, we can do it anywhere, but yet we also waste a significant amount of time. Why is it difficult to pray? Because it's not natural. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, something drastic happened. They hid from God. Their perfect communion with God, where they walked with God, they talked with God, they communed with him perfectly, they sinned and they ran and hid from him. And we do the same. we run and hide. That is our natural sinful inclination, is to run from God rather than run to God. In addition to that, we're Americans. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and we get to work and we do it. We accomplish whatever we set our hearts to. That's what we do. And so there's this difficulty, because we are independent people. We are self-reliant. And prayer forces us to focus on what's inside of our hearts. Prayer forces us to be honest with God, and we don't want to be honest with God or with ourselves about what's going inside of us. If you, again, are like me, you get in your car and you turn the radio up and you turn it up loud. See, I turn it up loud because if it's off, it's really quiet, and then I start to hear my own thoughts. And I don't want to hear my own thoughts. I don't want to know, I don't want to acknowledge what sinfulness is going on in my head. And so I distract myself. Prayer forces us to acknowledge and confess what's going on inside of our own hearts. It also forces us to acknowledge our lack of control. Prayer is a confession that God is in control and we are not. It's an acknowledgement that we need him in everything. It's an acknowledgement that we offer him nothing. There's nothing that I bring except for my own sinful heart. That's the only offering I have to God. And prayer brings that out, and it forces us to acknowledge it. Also, if you're like me, so I'm gonna say if you're like me a lot, because I told you I'm taking you on the journey that I've been on. If you're like me, you don't like being told what to do. Right, anyone here like being told what to do? I didn't think so. So when I'm in school, when I have been in school, I'm given assignments to read. You have to read this book. I assure you, I have never read a book in school that I was told I had to read. Now, after the grading period is over, I'll go back and read it and I'll love the book. Like, I wish I would have read this before. I don't like being told what to do. And we're told to pray. And so in this moment where I'm told to pray, I feel like it's an obligation that I have to do, and then that takes the joy away from praying, which then makes me not want to pray because I feel guilty. Again, there's all these loops that we get stuck in. It's like a hamster wheel. We can't get out until we understand what prayer is. See, prayer requires work. It requires training. It's like running a marathon. Right? Nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm gonna run a marathon today. First of all, I don't know why anybody would do that. That's a different conversation. But nobody wakes up and says, I'm gonna run a marathon without training. See, to run the 26.2 miles, I had a friend who did the Akron Marathon last fall, and I said, how many miles did you run in preparation for the marathon? And it was hundreds. See, prayer is similar. We don't become instantly the people who pray for 4 hours a day. It's a journey, and it takes effort, and it takes time. And when we try to do it in our own strength, we will fail. As with every part of the Christian walk, we can't do it on our own. But there's hope, right? Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our prayers. The Spirit shows us what we should pray for. And not only that, the Spirit prays for us. Prayer is something that God enables us to do. But through it all, sin has infected every aspect of our lives, and our prayer life suffers as a result. Adam and Eve ran and hid from God, and we do the same. But as with all parts of our faith, we must be willing to fight against the flesh and work toward holiness. Prayer is not easy. Prayer is difficult. And we have to work at getting better at it. Another thing that J.C. Ryle said about prayer is prayer will consume sin or sin will choke prayer. Why don't we pray? Maybe it's because we're very content with the sin in our lives. Maybe the life that we're living isn't what we are called to live, and we have this disconnect then where sin is choking out our prayer life because God is not honored when we live in sin willfully and then go to Him. Prayer is a relationship with God. And if we don't take it seriously, we will not be good at it. Sin is a deadly virus that impacts every part of our souls. The warning of God in Genesis 4:7 applies to us as well. God told Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Sin will impact your prayer life. You must fight against it, and you must rule over it. Now, another reason we don't pray is because we don't understand the point of prayer. Does prayer change God's mind? This is a conversation that I've had many, many times. Does prayer change God's mind? It's a common question, but the short answer is no. Prayer does not change God's mind. God's mind is unchangeable. There is nothing you are going to tell God in your prayers that He didn't already know. But it's not like God is up in heaven and you pray and He says, oh, man, if I would have known that, I would have done this differently. Thank you for letting me know. God's not like that. Prayer doesn't change God's mind, and the danger with this is, and the struggle that I have had, is it becomes fatalistic. God does what God does. I'm okay with that. And I don't pray because I can become fatalistic. Now, if prayer doesn't change God's mind, what is the point of prayer? See, God can't change His mind. God is eternal. He is never changing. And we're told in scriptures that He is never changing. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that He should lie, or a son of man that He should change His mind. He doesn't change His mind. James 1:7 says, there is no variation or shadow of change with God. He has eternal decrees that will happen. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if prayer doesn't change God's mind, what good is it? This is why we need to understand what prayer is. This is why we need to understand its purpose. If it doesn't change God's mind, why? Why do it? Because it does change our circumstances. It does change us. I'm going to read James 5:13-17. And I'm at that age now where if I read up close, I have to take my glasses off. So don't judge me. James 5:13-17. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. See, God is waiting for us to ask for things. He's waiting for us to go to Him. In James, also in James 1, 5 through 7, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Don't have? Ask, and God will give it to you. See, God is honored in our asking. God wants us to ask him. Why? Now imagine Solomon, right? Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived. What if one day, without praying, without a conversation with God, he just woke up and he was the wisest person ever? Do you think Solomon would have a pride problem? Do you think Solomon would take that to himself and say, man, I am so good at this? But instead, God said, I am gifting this to you. This is not something that you deserve. This is not something that you have earned. It is a gift from me. And in that, Solomon is required then to say, yeah, I have wisdom, but God gave it to me. See, when we pray and ask for things and God gives us things, he is honored in our asking, and then we are humbled in our asking because we are reminded that all we have is from him. There is nothing that we have earned on our own. There is nothing that we have accomplished on our own. It is all a gift from him, and it shows us and reminds us of our reliance upon him for all things. And on top of that, we then become thankful to him, knowing that he has given us everything. So it helps keep us humble. It praises God, it glorifies God, knowing and admitting that he is the one who has given us all things. Now, prayer isn't letting God know what we need. He already knows. He doesn't need us to inform him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, the Father knows what we need before we ask him. So, why pray? This is the question that I've asked myself over and over and over again. Why pray? What is the point? Prayer reminds us of our reliance upon him. It shows us his sovereignty over all things. We don't want to be self-reliant. I mean, we do want to be self-reliant, but we don't want to be self-reliant. That is disastrous. We are finite, sinful beings who know a very minuscule amount of information. We don't know the things we do, how they will turn out. We don't know behind the scenes things often. We don't know what's going on in other people's minds. Do you know who does? God does. And when we pray, he uses what he knows, which is everything, and then influences us to make good decisions, to bring glory to him. It brings us to a place of trust and rest. Prayer is something that God uses to bring about his purposes, not our purposes. Prayer is not to get what we want. We pray that God will do his will on earth as it is in heaven. Arthur Pink, another one of my favorite dead theologians, said, prayer is not intended to change God's purpose, nor is it to move him to form fresh purposes. Instead, prayers are the means through which God exercises his decrees. God has his eternal plan, and he uses our prayers to accomplish those. Now, how that works, I'm not gonna give you the answer because I have no idea. I don't know how God uses prayers to do the things that he said he was going to do, and I don't know how all that works, but I know what the Bible tells us, and I know that it is the word of God, and I know that it is true, and so I trust it. Prayer takes trust. It takes believing his promises. Now, maybe you're sitting there and you're wondering about passages like John 14, 13 to 14, in which Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I will tell you, the so-called prosperity gospel has done more harm to the church than just about any other false teaching. Maybe you've heard people say things like, I am claiming this in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming this new job in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming this winning lottery ticket in the name of Jesus. Well, usually we aren't that blunt. What does that even mean? That's not a biblical statement. We're never told to claim something in Jesus' name and then suddenly God is bound to give us what we ask. God isn't up there saying, all right, well, you said those magic words, I'm stuck. I wouldn't give that to you because it would be really bad for you to have it. But you asked in my name, therefore it's yours. That's not how God works. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a cosmic vending machine where we just put the dollar in and push the buttons and we get whatever we want. That's not who God is, and that's not prayer. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to his will. There's a lot wrong with the idea that you get whatever you ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is not a magic phrase. It doesn't lock God in. Imagine if God had to answer every prayer that was said in Jesus' name. How do you think the world would look? I assure you it would look a whole lot worse than it does now. Imagine somebody's life. You have two guys in college and they both have their eyes set on this girl. And they are both praying, God, I want to marry her. In Jesus' name, I'm going to marry her. But they both said it. Who wins? Who? Or imagine you have somebody's planning a graduation party at the park. They want a nice sunny day. But then you have a farmer right down the street. It hasn't rained in a while, and he really needs rain. And so he's praying for rain, but these people are praying for sun. Who wins? Right? This can't, I mean, we can do this endlessly. It is a nonstop. There are some sick people who pray for cold and snow. It's working. Right? If God gave us all of our prayers, I assure you the Browns would have won the Super Bowl by now. Right? It's not how this works. God doesn't have to give us everything we want. Prayer is not about us getting what we want. It's about God getting glory. That's what prayer is about. God's goal in everything is for us to bring him glory. And when we pray, our prayers are to bring him glory. God will give us what we ask when we ask in his name. Do you suppose that God won't answer your prayer for wisdom? You're faced with a difficult situation. God, please give me wisdom to make the best decision. Do you think God won't answer that prayer? Do you think God won't answer your prayer for guidance or for ability to obey or for boldness to proclaim the gospel to your unbelieving friends? Do you think God isn't honored and won't answer those prayers? Prayer changes things. It doesn't change God's mind. But obedience still requires work. Right? You can't pray. So we know that in our country, pornography is a huge problem. You can't say, all right, I have this pornography issue. God, please take this from me. And then get on your computer at midnight or at 12:30 by yourself in the room, in the dark, alone, and then wonder why you're being tempted. God, I prayed for this. I thought you would answer my prayer. No, it still takes work. Obedience still takes work. Just like prayer requires work. All of the aspects of our Christian faith require us to work, to do things, to strive to be after him. That's what sanctification is. The whole process takes effort. Salvation is a free gift of God. It is given to us. We are justified. Our sins are taken away. Jesus' righteousness is placed on us. That is a done deal. Nobody earns that. It's a gift of God. But through our lives, we work to get better, to strive after Christ. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Right? The Bible is full of these things. So the idea is you pray and ask God to help you with these temptations and then work alongside of his Spirit to overcome them. Prayer, sometimes it is just, I mean, I've talked to drug addicts who said they were a drug addict and then they came to faith and the desire was gone. Yes, that happens. It's rare, but God does what God wants to do. Now, I want to go back to the name it and claim it idea. Because this is a very, very dangerous thing. And the problem is it takes the focus off of who God is. It takes the focus and it puts it on our own hearts and our own minds. Prayer, again, is not getting what we physically want. When our eyes are on ourselves, they're not on Jesus. When our eyes are on our circumstances, we lose sight of who God is and what his desires are for us. Prayer brings us in tune with the Spirit. It brings us to a place that we look to him and not our circumstances. We look to him and not ourselves. Otherwise, we lose sight of who God is and we put our desires here. God, I want what I want. See, God is not after our happiness. God is after our holiness. And those are two very, very different things. God, I promise you, will not give you everything that you want that will make you happy. He loves you way too much to do that. There have been times in my life where I say, God, I would really like to be rich. You can fill in whatever amount you think that is. I have an amount, I'm not gonna share it. But then I read passages where Jesus says, it's really dangerous having a lot of money. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And then I think, yeah, I know, but I could do it. Like, at least let me try. He loves me too much than to let that happen. And I am grateful. Most days, I am grateful. Like, this is who God, he loves us more than we can imagine, and he will not give us everything we want because he knows the disaster that would be in our own lives. This is who God is. And this is why when we pray, our eyes are focused on him and not on ourselves. Now, you may be wondering, we have seen that prayer does not change God's mind. Prayer does not give us everything we want, and prayer is not informing God about what we need. So what is prayer? If it's not all those things that we often think it is, what is prayer? What is prayer's goal? The goal, the purpose of prayer, is not to change God's mind as if we know better than he does. It's not to change God's eternal will as if that were even possible. The purpose of prayer is to align our wills with his, to change our hearts and our perspectives to be in line with his. It's to remind us of our reliance upon him. Yes, we ask for things. Jesus told us to ask for things. Give us this day our daily bread. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to the Father that the Father would take the cup from him. But he followed it up with a very, very important phrase. Not my will, but yours be done. We go to God with our requests. He asks us to make requests. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice this. Give your requests. Make your requests be made known to God. And when you do that, God will protect your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God, I really want this. Yet not my will, but yours be done. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. God, this is what I'm asking you for, according to your will, not my own. We pray not to get what we want. We pray to get to know him and rest in him. That is so important. We've gone over a lot today. I told you it was my journey. Because of all the aspects of faith, this is the one that I struggle with the most. There were other parts of faith where God has been very gracious, and I can rest in him in ways that blow my mind. I struggle with prayer. I am weak in praying. I tell our church, nothing we can do makes a difference if we don't pray. Prayer is everything. There's a story of Charles Spurgeon. Somebody asked him. Charles Spurgeon was an amazing pastor in England in the 1800s. And somebody said, Spurgeon, how are you and your church so effective? And he took them on a tour one Sunday morning, and they went down into the boiler room, and there was a group of people praying. He said, this is the engine room of the church. Without this, nothing makes a difference. So we know this intellectually. We know this to be true because the Bible tells us it's true. And yet, for some reason, I still can't get out of my own way. I am Paul. Not the good part, but where he says, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I want to do. What a wretched man I am. This is the struggle that I have had, but let this be a challenge to you. I love the new year, right? I love the new year. It's a moment in time where we can say, I'm going to change things. I don't set resolutions because resolutions fail. I try to set attainable goals. There's a big difference. If you do something similar, if prayer is a struggle like yours, don't try this year to be of the amazing people of faith who prayed for 4 and 5 hours a day. It won't happen. And you'll be disappointed, and it will become a resolution that just stops. Set attainable goals. Start with 15 minutes a day. God, I'm gonna pray for 15 minutes a day. Start in these prayers by focusing on who God is. Worship him, adore him in your prayer. Thank him for who he is and all that he has done. I assure you that if you do that, 15 minutes will fly by. Spend 15 minutes, make that your goal. Then make your request be made known to him. If somebody asks you to pray for them, do it right then and right there. When you're home, when you're somewhere, go somewhere where you can be alone and pray out loud. This helps me a lot because if you're like me, you sit down to pray and you start and it's quiet and then your mind starts to drift. I wonder how the calves are doing. I wonder, whatever. You all have things that you wonder about. Praying out loud gets rid of those distractions, and it forces you to focus on what you're saying. I am not a journaler. Like, I don't journal, but there are times where I write down prayers, and it really helps me to stay focused, because as the pen and paper are hitting, you have to pay attention. Maybe journal your prayers out. And the beautiful thing about that is you can go back and read it and see how faithful God has been. If 15 minutes seems too much, spend 3 5-minute increments each day. If you get distracted, set an alarm. Know when you have free time, know when you typically are able, and pray. Set an alarm to remind you. If you drive, I used to work up in Cleveland, and I would drive up there, which is not a fun drive. Nobody knows how to drive. I don't know if you knew this. I am the only person I know who knows how to drive. But in those times, when you're in the car, turn the radio off and pray out loud. Like, take the effort to force yourself into these situations where you pray. God is asked, the God of the universe is asking us to have conversations with him. What an amazing honor it is. Take him up on it. Take him up on this opportunity. I assure you, you will not be disappointed and you won't regret it. And if you do this, you'll look back at 2025 and you will see that it was a huge blessing to you and those around you. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for you, for your truth. God, thank you that you want us to go to you. God, forgive us for relying on our own strength, our own abilities, and not resting in you and not going to you. Forgive us. Forgive me. God, I pray that you, that your spirit will help us in 2025 become a people of prayer. Thank you that you hear us. Amen.
This has been a message from the Chapel in Akron, Ohio. Thanks for joining us today. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 and 10:40 a.m. You can join us online for our services by going to akronlive.thechapel.life. For more information about the Chapel, please visit our website at thechapel.life.